It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Jules Gill. It's the Banties.
It's the Banties.
Which I do forget what we synced that up with. Was it our half year mark? I can't remember anymore.
Yeah. So for those of you not in the know, and also welcome to the UBP. My name is Jules Gill, and I am the host today. I've taken the over the reins.
Without the notes. I've got the notes, but carry on. That's the way that it's going to go.
And I'm joined by Scott Tailford. And this is a very special episode, ladies and gents, because now, last week, we mentioned that the UBP has been going for 6 months. That is a stellar feat right there. And to sort of celebrate that fact, we thought we'd do an awards show. And in classic Scott and Jules fashion, we completely forgot to do it on the actual date. And now we're here a week later,
It is here. Don't worry.
So say hello to the Banties.
So we put the feelers out on Twitter, just said, look, is there any awards that you guys would like us to tackle? So we got a nice selection from across some people submitting on mine and your questions over on Twitter, which is brilliant. We've also added some of our own categories as well. We'll get through as many as we can. We got quite a few.
We should do a sort of like a rules addendum, because nothing says award show like tape work and like busybodying and stuff like that. So the things that we have to remember are the games that we're going to be talking about transcend years. This isn't like a yearly thing. We'll probably do it next year, like when it's like, it transcends all time and space. So we could be picking games from our childhood past. We could be picking games that came out yesterday. It has no restrictions. But maybe next year when we do it again for the Banties Round 2 Electric Boogaloo, we'll probably put it in for like since 2000.
Oh my God. We can do the Banties Game of the Year edition, because wouldn't we? But yeah, so first award is for most satisfying shotgun as presented by Resident Evil Village. This was a submission from a candidate from Jay, who says Halo Collector's Edition has the most satisfying shotgun IMO. Now, I'm going to reject that immediately. I don't think Halo's shotgun is top tier at all, but carry on.
See, I like the Halo shotgun, but only because of the fact that it usually comes with the announcer just going like, double kill, triple kill, regicide.
I just never found like the range of it to be reliable. Now I know that that's always a talking point around shotguns, because it's all about the spread, it's all about the close range. But in Halo, there's a certain expectation of what a shotgun will still reach in a video game, and Halo's shotgun never got there, to the point where it's not even touching grubs or grunts on the other side of the map. Versus, you know, Resident Evil shotguns. Resident Evil 4 is obviously top tier shotgun.
Of the Resident Evil? Because there's a lot of shotguns within that thing. Because you've got the Riot shotgun, which is called the Hydra, I believe. No, the Hydra's the triple barreled one.
There's a crazy one you can get in Village as well towards the end, like a sort of... I tell you what's a really good shotgun. I don't know if it's classed more of a machine as a machine gun, but Max Payne has that hammerhead shotgun.
Oh, that's mad, that
one. It just fires like every sort of couple seconds, and I'm like, that's a hell of a shotgun. That would be in my top three.
I think that any sort of game that gives you a Riot shotgun that has like a multi big wheeled barrel where you just go kush, 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 kush. That's like Call of Duty. If it's not doing the kush, don't get it in the mush. You know what I'm saying?
That was still rattling your entire body there.
Yeah. The shotguns from Call of Duty, if you go for like ultimate ones, you've got to look at the broken ones, like the Akimbo, the dual-wielding Akimbos. They were awful. They ruined the online portion for a bit.
I never could get on board with it. I don't know if this is heathenish to say, but I've never ever found a sawn-off shotgun that I liked. I remember getting it in Max Payne. And again, the range is terrible. Yeah. It's only got a couple of shots. All of them only have two shots. The one in Gears of War is horrendous. You get one shot,
that's
two
so
shots,
bad.
Then
it
you've
was
got to
broken.
Reload again.
So broken, the shotguns.
I just don't get it. But yeah, what would what's your go-to? What's our candidates for the most satisfying shotgun? What comes to mind?
Okay, for immediately for me that comes to mind, it's the super shotgun from Doom.
Shout,
like,
yeah.
Like, it is amazing, especially with the grapple hook ability. Yeah. Being able to fling, I love the fact that Doom is the only game where it doesn't say, hey, we're going to bring enemies closer to you so that you can deal with them there. It's saying, get in that enemy's face and literally blast it off.
The other thing from Watchmen where is that you're not stuck in here with me. I'm stuck in, whatever that quote is. You know what I mean.
Yeah, you're, but you're saying that from within your opponent's neck at this point when you're jamming the barrel down their throat.
I think the winner has to be the Super Shotgun, especially the Doom Eternal one, because of the grappling hook, because you can even make that grappling hook on fire.
Therefore, the winner is, dramatic pause, the Super Shotgun from Doom Eternal.
Yay! If I can find some crowd noises, which I can't because Rich Hudson's gone, I won't be able to add them in. But I could hear some sort of distant cheering. But yes, the winner for the most satisfying shotgun is Doom Eternal Super Shotgun. Yay, yay, yay. Next award is for the Making Me Question What I'm Doing With My Life award, which is one of my ones that I'm playing here. Which is just, which game give you a full-on existential crisis? Which initial candidates could be Sekiro, could be Demon's Souls, but I'm going to throw in Halo Master Chief Collection, because the first time I went back online, having taken a big gap from Halo, you know, after Halo 4, then took a little while, then played some Halo Master Chief Collection, I just got absolutely trounced online, and I just sort of sat there going like, I can't get any shots off, I can't defeat anybody, what's going on? And I just Googled it, and it was like, oh, you should use the pistol, because the pistol's got some of the best, like, response time between when you're shooting people. And I just sort of sat there, and I literally, it took me like 10 minutes, I just sort of sat there, and my whole life flashed before me, and I just sat there going, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life where I'm Googling? I can't even be good at Halo anymore, and I'm searching pistol methods. And I just sort of sat there going like, and I had the same thing in something like Sekiro, where it's like, I don't even want to beat this thing. I don't even need to do it.
You're just seeing it through to the end, are you?
So it was just, whatever game made you question life itself, if you've realized it.
Made me question life itself. I think that, unfortunately, I'm going to have to pull this one out of the bag, and that is Fallout 76. Because Scott and I are filming this on the same day that we filmed a news. We talked about some Fallout 5 potential news that's going on there. And I had a flashback then as we were doing that news to the absolute abysmal state that Fallout 76 launched in. And then you had the gall to say to our audience that it's gotten better.
It must have gotten better since launch. It must have done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess that it had to, in theory. But the increments by which it improved was minuscule at best. And so I remember downloading it, saying to Osley that we were going to go on there and capture some footage for an upcoming skit for Choose Your Own Adventure. Mm-hmm. We downloaded it. It was like, 60 gigs, something like that, huge. Gets to the point there, try to log on. Half an hour goes by, can't figure out how to log on because of the stupid Bethesda Net thing that it's got going on. Finally, we through crook and hook, we managed to get into the game. We run down the hill out of the first bunker, an enemy despawns, and then I let the server crash because I tried to pick up an item. I know I've told this story before, but that moment right there, I sat down and I was like, I have wasted enough time here to go and read a significant portion of a book or learn something new. Instead, what I've done is I've wasted my time. I've wasted my time and my life.
I think it's not necessary to go either or, whether this is your candidate, therefore you get points for your game winning, but I think Fallout 76 does have to win, mainly because it would have absolutely made a lot of people over at Bethesda question what the hell they just devoted their time to in the run-up to it. So the winner of the Make Me Question What I'm Doing With My Life award is Fallout 76.
Boo! There's all the boos for it.
Is for the most blatant cash grab award. I'm putting some candidates forward, which are the Prototype re-release on PS4, which was literally just the original Prototype and Prototype 2 for like £40. The Marvel Ultimate Alliance remasters, again, same games, but they were charged. They actually got removed because it was the whole backlash against how much money they were being charged for. And I also threw in Fire Pro Wrestling because... I adore Fire Pro Wrestling so much, but the price tag is ludicrous. And I'm not saying it's a cash grab, but I think, I am saying that. But I think that because they got the NJPW, the New Japan license back in 2017, and they thought, right, this is us for the big time, that their base entry point is still £45 to this day. And all their DLCs are ludicrously priced as well. So I'm throwing that in. I'm laying it down.
That's a good one, man. I think I'm going to put into the mix FIFA Legacy. Have you heard about this?
Is that the re-release on Switch?
Yeah, the re-release on Switch that had none of the features. They basically took everything out. They kept the exact same character models and character pictures. They didn't update anything. They just slapped a 21 license on it, but it was FIFA 2020.
The one where IGN just copied and pasted their review and was like, well, if you're going to do it, then we'll do it as well.
I cannot believe that they had the cheek to even try that. But then again, maybe I can believe that because, as I've said many times before with you, Scott, like saying that the annualized sports franchise is a absolute tumor on the gaming industry. How do you expect to advance things when you do not give your developers enough time to improve stuff? You end up with stuff like this where they have a low effort, maximum reward for reaping fans' loyalty and completely raking their wallets dry. Like, it's not good.
Speaking of annual stuff as well, I would throw in Black Ops 4 and Black Ops Cold War.
For a cash grab.
Yeah, because I mean, Black Ops 4. I mean, I like Black Ops 4 enough, but like they ditched the single player. It's that whole mentality of, you know, the top tier business going, we absolutely need to hit this annual window, and we can't even take a second to make sure if it's actually a worthwhile product for £60, $60. Black Ops Cold War was worse, where that did manage to have a campaign, but it was very threadbare. The amount of maps that were there at launch was just absolutely nothing at all. And they switched around a whole bunch of developers behind the scenes to make sure they could hit that annual launch window for the new consoles. And the game's fine, but it speaks to how little of an impact it made that everybody's still just playing original Warzone or Modern Warfare. Black Ops Cold War. I feel like that is something that is insanely blatant because it is just Activision going, well, we're not going to not sell Call of Duty every year, even though we don't need to. And there's already a year's worth of DLC, microtransactions, everything carrying over the last year's product. So I don't know if you declare that a winner, but I'm thrilled.
Maybe we need to put something out there that is a bit more controversial. Maybe we need to say a mobile video game.
Oh,
because
mind.
They are the definition of cash grab because they are the lowest effort squirts on the market.
I tell you what,
Final Fantasy All the Bravest is my shout.
Okay, I was going to say the Mario Kart on mobile where you have to do a random gacha loot box to get Mario.
I've forgotten about that game. I was like, what's he on about? I was like, that was
it was great fun.
It was great fun when you were playing it, but as soon as it was kind of like, and here's the gambling, you're just like,
Even the weird auto play thing, I was just like, what the hell is that? I could kind of get it for a second, but Rich was just like, this is disgusting. I think most blatant cash grab awards should go to a mobile game, should go to the Final Fantasy one where you have to pay for every individual character.
That was so bad. And the best thing the worst thing is, you didn't even buy the characters you wanted. You bought a random loot box and hopefully you might get one of the characters for your life.
So most blatant cash grab award goes to Final Fantasy All the Bravest. Next award is the you play, I'll just watch award, given to games that are more fun to talk about than actually play, suggested by Mackenzie Young.
My big suggestion here is getting over it with Bennett Foddy.
I love that game.
That's the thing. I love talking about that game. And I love what it represents. But you try playing that. Jeepers creepers, man.
It's weird. My mind went to Death Stranding, even though I did love that game. Oh, but I was just kind of like talking about it. Like, I don't know.
We actually have literal evidence of this because you and I did a stream where you had already played the game for a couple of days, maybe even a week before, and you brought it on and you were like, cool, right, like I want to see your reaction to playing this. And I'm there like, oh, this is actually pretty fun in a weird way. I'm not sure if I'm enjoying it. And you're just kind of like,
there was a really good progression across that video where I think going in we were like, because I was like, well, I've played it for a bit, it is weird, and then you were like, what is this thing, like everyone's talking about it or whatever. And then
there was
a nice little progression of you going like, oh my god, this is horrible, and then going, oh, but this is a little, I'm getting there, like there are things to unlock, there is a progression loop,
like, and you're like, see.
I don't know, I think it would be something that's really convoluted. Like, I love picking apart or talking about the wider Metal Gear lore, but it's not, I mean, obviously I love playing them too. I think it would be something, some awkward thing like Bennett Foddy, where it's just more fun to watch someone suffer through it. Most of the streamer games.
There are other games as well that I think spring to mind, such as Until Dawn. Anything that's like got a cinematic approach, because it's actually more fun to watch people react to them than it is to go through and be like, oh, when's the next quick time event going to come out of nowhere?
I'll tell you what's more fun to talk about.
Oh, here he is.
This sounds like it's going to be a perfect candidate, but I'm going to twist it a little bit. What about Anthem? What about something that was just a complete tire fire that wasn't fun to play at all, but it's definitely fun? Oh, it's interesting. It's fascinating, for me at least, to look into the business machinations that led to such a disaster. Avengers would be one as well. Hey, playing that. But like, it's more.
I don't want to watch anyone play that because it makes me remember that they paid for that game, man. That's just sad.
That thing
it's like Schadenfreude to like an extreme.
There's a great category coming up that'll fit better in. I'm gonna abandon the announcer voice because I feel like there's a lot of awards to get through. Unless you want to throw in an announcer tone for the.
Go on, I'll do it. So who's the winner? Do we
I think if I'm going down my logic, I would go down. Because I love talking about the ridiculousness that is Anthem, Fallout 76, sure. Avengers. It's all those massive stupid cash grab things.
So what was the official title for this award?
This one was the Yeah You Play, I'll Just Watch award.
Okay. For the You Just Play, I'll Just Watch award, this year's winner is, dramatic pause, Destiny!
I need to find a crowd thing. I might just literally message Rich and go, can you just clap some hands and send me it so I can put it in the background?
Type in grunt party sound effect.
Oh, because obviously
when it does the pop and they pop their heads, put that on. That's what we should have.
I will see what I can find. The next award is the Horn Award. The full-on the Horn Award, giving for triggering the most horny fans, as presented by Kill the DJ 95. Suggests, obviously, you know, Resident Evil 8 with the big old village.
Two big old villages, mate.
Two big old villages, two big old churches. I thought I'd throw in the boob sliders in Fire Emblem when they got removed, and a lot of the fandom freaked out over that.
Yeah.
There was all the discussions around Tifa's chest in Final Fantasy VII Remake. Is it going to be big? Is it going to be small? What kind of version is it going to be?
People getting very, very annoyed for Mass Effect Legendary Edition or whatever it is, the one that's coming out, because of the fact that they've changed the camera angles so you don't see butts as much. So triggering the horny boys there.
I forgot about that. Going back to that, we should somehow make a catalogue, an archive of all the gratuitous ass shots that are in a lot of 2000s games.
Yeah.
Because every time you talk to Miranda in Mass Effect, the camera's just randomly all up behind her. Same in Final Fantasy X, when you meet Riku, just camera up the bum.
It's just kind of like, oh, right, okay, there's the hole. Okay, cool, right.
On the whole, the archive of video game butt shots.
What about Quiet from Metal Gear Solid 5?
I don't think
you should have seen his face, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, because I don't, that's like so ridiculously, obnoxiously stupid that I don't know if it triggered horny fans. It wasn't like something was taken away. It was Kojima going like, yeah, let's have Snake shower with her in front of everybody, because that's something that we have to motion capture with Stephanie Joosten.
Well, the thing is that he got a lot of backlash for it, for including it.
Yeah.
And then he came out with all of his like, oh no, it's because of photosynthesis in the skin, bro.
But then you'll be ashamed.
Not even like a week later, the absolute lad himself, the sweaty hog dog, came out and said, oh, you know what? I just wanted to see people cosplay as her. That's literally the design.
I completely missed that. I remember him saying the whole, when you realize the real reason that she's half naked, you'll be ashamed of your words indeed.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He let it spin itself out, got as much attention on it, and then basically just came out and just said, yeah, it's just because I wanted to see people cosplay.
Just a bit horny, to be honest.
Is it Yako Taro?
That does Nier and everything.
Yeah, same sort of thing. He just wanted to design, in his words, beautiful, sexy women.
I mean, if you're upfront and honest about it, then maybe we can't get too annoyed about it. You have gone quite quiet, Jules Gill. I don't know if I've also gone quiet.
No, you haven't gone quiet.
If we're recording all right, then we're all right. But I'm just, you've been a little bit quiet. I don't know if there's
anything.
It's
fine. I'll yell.
I think it's fine. I think it's all right. Yeah. I think in terms of the Horn Award, for me, it has to be Resident Evil Village. I just, when was the last time we had such an outpour of en masse horning the world over?
Like the fact that the internet collectively looked at her and just said, step on me. And it wasn't like in that sort of like, oh, that's a bit weird. Everyone's just like, yeah, no, this is fine.
I just thought I was missing out on something then. Like, I just sort of like saw everybody saying that. And I was like, is this something I'm supposed to have been doing when I was experimenting in my 20s? Like, I didn't, what was that? Just, I mean,
some people just like having big ladies step on them.
Just a foot to the face.
Apparently so. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's my bag. I mean, in fact, if she was standing on my bag, I'd have a few questions.
So the horn, I'll bring the voice back. The Horn Award, given for triggering the most horny fans, is given to Resident Evil Village's Lady Dimitress. Now, this next one is a brilliant award. This is the Covetous Encroaching Obnoxious Award / CEO for worst monetization in a video game, brought to you in partnership with PG Quips.
Right. I'm sorry. I'm gonna let you go first because
I'll finish.
Yeah, when I go for my option, I'm gonna be dropping the mic and the nuclear bomb on you, mate. So you go first.
This was from PG Quips, and over on Twitter, it was mostly suggested that this would go to Avengers, but I don't know if you've got something else in mind.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
You think Avengers, do you? Oh, you sweet summer child.
I was born in it.
You think that maybe spending at most a couple of $100 to try and unlock everything in the Avengers, you think that's a lot of cash? An egregious example of microtransactions? Well, my friend, step right up, gather round, because we're going to tell a tale today about the abysmal state of Dead or Alive 6.
I was going to say Dead or Alive. I was just like, the game that released as, what, an empty framework of a menu screen? You plug everybody in one by one?
$1,000 is how much it would take to buy all of the extra DLC on top of buying the game itself. And, Scott, as an added bonus to that, even if you were to sink $1,050 to $60 on getting the air quotes full experience, you'd have to pay a dollar a time that you'd want to switch your hair color for your characters. Hello, my friend. This is the end.
Make me lose words, but a part of me sort of weirdly admires how much they just went for it. Just like, because Dead or Alive's had a horny AF fandom for a long time. Like, I mean, I was one of them. Dead or Alive 2, give me gallery mode, give me it all day long. But like, over the years, I feel like they've obviously got that reputation. There was the whole conversation with the creative director talking about jiggle physics, and he was like, oh, we're not taking them out. If anything, we've made them jigglier, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so they had a whole mode where you can put they made the controller vibrate, and they were like, oh, we suggest that you put it somewhere on your person while you're watching this mode. And it's like, yeah, all right, Dead or Alive. And so I feel like they've sort of embraced it. And then at some point they were like, well, people want this, so let's just crank it the hell up. And then
while
they actually paid that money or not.
Well, the thing is that you've got a very good point there. If people are going to crank it anyway, might as well crank it up. The thing is that the porn industry makes money hand over fist. And
brilliant application of that phrase in that.
Yeah, I know. I thought about it as I was saying it. I was just kind of like, the thing is that because it makes so much money, it proves that people, as much as they'd like to stand up there and be like, oh, no, no, don't look at the naked people and put the butts away, they will spend money behind the scenes on making these things.
Obviously, the award does go for the covetous, encroaching, obnoxious CEO award for worst monetization should go to Dead or Alive 6,
yeah,
and more Dead or Alive in general. But like, there is this whole sort of unsaid, unspoken thing of like OnlyFans and Dead or Alive just monetizing the horniness,
yeah,
to get as much money out of it as possible. Which, you know, sure, if you're gonna steer into it, like I said, though, I do think that is ludicrous.
Absolutely fair play. If one of those things is like, if you've got the CEO of the Dead or Alive franchise just sitting there, just kind of look, they're gonna pay for it anyway, so why not charge them for it? Like, you do have to kind of admire the balls on the.
I don't want to be like that person. I wouldn't do it myself. But part of me does just laugh at the history of Dead or Alive being twinned with that price point. I think that's the ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
The next thing is the no. Seriously, I need to stop playing, but it's 2 a.m. and this feels too good. Award brought to you by Travis Webb, suggesting the likes of Returnal and Doom Eternal. It's something that you just cannot, for love nor money, stop playing, even if it is the early hours of the morning.
That's a great shout, actually. I think that a lot of roguelikes would fall into that, because it's that, oh, just one more go, just have quick blast at it.
I haven't had it for a little while, but playing Returnal, I don't know when the last time was that you had this sensation, but I used to get it all the time in games where you completely lose track of time, where you think it's only been 20 minutes, but you look up and it's actually been an hour or 2 hours, and you literally do a double take at the clock or whatever. I literally haven't done that in a good few years, where something has completely taken me in. And Returnal did that, to the point where I lost about 3 hours, just didn't realize. So my front runner would be Returnal, but I don't know if you have something else that comes to mind in terms of swallowing your mind.
In terms of like examples that have affected me personally, probably either Super Meat Boy or Trials.
Yeah,
the very first Trials game, I was invested in that, man. Like, I could. It's just because it's that one more go mentality, and the fact that there's no loading times. So you just like respawn, go, respawn, go, and you're just kind of like, oh, my brain. I felt like at the end of playing through Super Meat Boy. And by the way, hand up, I didn't finish it.
Who's finished Super Meat Boy.
Yeah, I wasn't good enough to finish it, but it did feel at one point that when I was looking at it, that it kind of felt like the end of 2001 A Space Odyssey, where it's just like the lights and the colors, and I was turning back into a babby again. I was just like, throw it in there. Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
Oh, shout. Yeah. Because I guess you don't have time to look at a clock or anything while you're playing this game.
You just go. And when you're doing the endless set list as well.
Bladder of Steel achievement. Oh. I never did that entire thing. I always liked the idea of it, but I couldn't devote the entire day to it. But I do love the idea of it.
I did do it. Did I tell you how we did it, though?
You did it as like a bunch of friends in a sleepover or something, didn't
you? Yeah, it was a group of friends in student accommodation. And we left the Xbox 360 on all night and woke up really early in the morning to go and start it again to finish it off.
Nice. I never managed to get all the way through that thing. I think for me, it would be Returnal, but I have to give it to Trials, because the first time you get a Trials game, there's something about everything about your first Trials game that's brilliant. Still recommend Trials HD to this day, if it's even available on Xbox One, backwards compatible or whatever.
Sure, actually.
Show the award for the No, Seriously, I Need to Stop Playing, But It's 2 a.m. and It Feels Too Good award, presented to you by Travis Webb, has to go to Trials HD, or the first Trials. Next is the Why Is This a Thing award, for outdated mechanics or mentalities in games, brought to us by Nicholas Eric Aysen. I guess you can interpret this however you want. My mind went to every time a game hides a load with an awkward sidling. Or
you hate that, don't you?
Sideways through a rock face. I hate that. And it's like Resident Evil 8, for the most part, eliminates load times, but occasionally they couldn't tweak the world geometry, the levels enough. So you do have bits where you're just going through something slowly, or going through a rock, like just a random crevice, just sort of going through it.
You'd rather have a black screen with a load time, would you?
Yes.
You'd rather have that?
I would rather have a big upfront load, GTA, early Uncharted style, and then nothing else. Or just find other ways to do it. Because games used to always have, I remember Corey Barlog talking about this on the eve of the PlayStation 5. He's like, the SSD is going to change how we design levels, because you don't need corridors anymore, because you don't need to make the player wait. But do something like that. Hide it better. don't have my character in the middle of a big action scene or transitioning between two action points, just have to awkwardly get through a rock for 5 minutes. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. It's all over Shadow of the Tomb Raider and Final Fantasy VII Remake, and no.
Not for you, is it?
Not for me, Jules Gill. That would be the thing that I just... Why is this still a thing? I mean, I know why it's a thing. It's because they need to load games. But it needs to go away. Every PS5 update does not just need to be resolution and frame rate. It needs to remove those awkward loading sections.
Now, you know what? This is a tough one, actually. Like, to figure out what thing
I guess,
annoys
like,
me in a way.
Type stuff, or something that you just kind of look at it in any new game and just kind of go, why have you made that decision?
In that case, then, I would say that any game post Don't Starve that had crafting mechanics and survival stuff, like, I was just kind of like, anything that chases the trend that hard, I'm just kind of like, ooh, I'm immediately put off by it. It's the same with, like, I know that there's a lot of people out there that like these types of games, but anything that Ubisoft puts out at the moment, it's just kind of like, it feels like the same game over and over again, a checklist of stuff to do. And it feels like thankless task as well, because you just go, cool, I've completed all of Watch Dogs, Legions, whatever, and done all of the I've done the base things. I've done all of the little tower things. I've done all that. Can't wait to play the next Ubisoft game that has exactly the same mechanics.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. Yeah, we absolutely should give it to Ubisoft stuff, because as soon as they nailed that, they initially nailed that formula in like Far Cry 3, and then a mix of Far Cry 3 and Assassin's Creed, and that just became everything, to the point where even the crew had towers to unlock.
Yeah, Far Cry 3 came out what, in like 2010?
2012, I think.
2012. Like that is so long ago now. Have we not found a way to evolve the formula beyond those things?
I think going forward, although then again, they just announced the other day that they're going to do free-to-play versions of all their top-tier franchises. So
that's mad, by the way.
Oh, that's going to go. They then went back and said, don't worry, we're still going to do premium stuff. They're all over the place. But if they do free-to-play versions, they'll have to rely on some sort of endless monetization loop, so you'll probably get more of it. But at the same time, yes, I would hope that they would change it. So the award for why is this still a thing? Should go to just all Ubisoft games the last 4 years. Just why have you not innovated at all in half a decade? Which, I mean, to explain that, it's literally because there was a big old wrongin at the top, the guy that got accused of being a horrific POS, and he's apparently the dude that was greenlighting everything to be the exact same. So you would hope that going forward it changes. And next award is the hold on, you're not getting away with that award, which is presented as in reference to Gamers Uniting, given for when gamers struck back at the industry, presented by Brian Jackson. That's the dude that suggested it over on Twitter.
Show.
His suggestion, a couple others over on Twitter, were the amount of people that responded to Sony shutting down the PS3 and PSP stores, managing to get Sony to overturn that. So I'm thinking that as a bit of a front runner, although I can't, there's been quite a lot where gamers have just sort of gone, this is disgusting, you need to fix this.
The classic example would be the Star Wars Battlefront 2 whole thing. I feel like that kicked off such, it was like the spark that lit the tinderbox that then completely engulfed the entire industry for so long. Mm-hmm. But what makes it really interesting is that since that point, EA have obviously gone on and done more things and said, oh, sorry guys, we'll promise to do better. Oh, sorry guys. Like, it's one of those things where the only way that they're going to be really held accountable is if we actually take them to task and stop buying their products, because man, it's getting a bit tiring now for these big publishers to turn around and say, hey guys, really sorry, I fudged up again, that's on me, daddy's picking up this check. It's like, no, you're not, you're just saying you're doing better and you keep doing the same bloody thing.
Well, it's not like FIFA Ultimate Team has changed anything. I mean, it all has changed meaningfully. If anything, they've only doubled down on it. I mean, every system that they have funnels everybody into Ultimate Team, into card packs and loot boxes and blind boxes and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, in terms of, you know, gamers striking back, I think that would have to actually go to the Battlefront 2 thing, because at least as of the end of 2017, there was light coming through the clouds again, where, you know, it got as big as different countries were getting involved. Certain different places like Belgium and China now forced games to disclose drop rates. And, you know, it had a bit, that was a very seismic thing, which wouldn't have happened if enough of us didn't get online and just go, what the hell is this? So the award for, hold on, you're not getting away with that, Gamers Unite Award goes to Battlefront 2. the next award is the actually Your Breathtaking Award, brought to you by Cyberpunk Keanu Reeves E3 2019 Energy, also known as Laughing Sunbro, which is just, what's the best cyberpunk-themed game?
The best cyberpunk
Which isn't Cyberpunk 2077.
See, I would have said Katana Zero. No, is it Blade Runner? Which one am I thinking of? Which the first person parkour slash em up one?
Oh, you're thinking of Ghost Runner, which is what Ghost Runner's going to be. That's great.
Yeah, because Ghost Runner is great. It just ran like a ran like a sponge on the when it first came out, and it was awful. And I don't think that. I can't remember if the devs got into hot water about it or if they
We did a video on it because Rare is the thing that we originate as a news thing as opposed to just sort of like looking stuff up or whatever. But I was like, in the morning, I was like, this is running like hell. I need to get the word out. So I just like grabbed Josh off the shelf and said, look, let's talk about Ghost Runner. That game initially launched like hell, has fixed itself, has been patched in various things, including
very fun game. Mode.
It's great. It's so hard. I still haven't finished it, but they did announce a sequel I think yesterday afternoon. So there is going to be more of it. But yeah, Ghost Runner dropped right alongside Cyberpunk and then sort of ate its lunch in regards to like sheer playability.
If we're going back in time, though, we could go right back to the very beginning of things almost and put out like, is it Shadowrun for the SNES when that came out?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, that is, because that was like a tactical RPG with tons of sci-fi elements. It was basically Blade Runner, the video game. In fact, isn't there a game that Hideo Kojima made that was effectively Blade Runner?
The Kojima thing is Snatcher.
Game was ace.
Yeah, I still haven't played that, but yeah, Snatcher is the thing that Kojima did. That's where the Metal Gear mech originates, Meryl's in it as well.
Oh, okay.
Things like that. There is a Blade Runner game, but it was only ever on PC, although I think recently they've said they're going to try and do a console version of it. Shadowrun is such a shout, but that one, I can't remember what it's called. It's Shadowrun Legends, maybe.
There was another one that had like a spin-off that was like an MMORPG, not an MMO, it was like a shooter thing, and it had like crossplay between PC and Xbox.
Yeah, that was that was the one where it was like the first crossplay shooter, and you could go up against PC people on the 360.
Unsurprisingly, the 360 people got murdered because of the fact that it's just so much easier to aim with mouse and keyboard and stuff.
Like in shooting people.
Yeah.
The one that was the sort of isometric turn-based XCOM style one, Shadow Realm something. That's a brilliant shout. That's got such a unique world, like all the different animal species, where it's like big, like hot, like pigs are like cops, like literally, and stuff like that.
It's called.
It's made by Harebrained Schemes Development.
Right, you keep vamping. I'm gonna type in, and this is exactly what I'm gonna type in. XCOM, but with animals, right?
Go for it, yeah. XCOM
with animals.
Because I love anything.
And boom, there it is, straight away. Mutant Year Zero.
Oh, Mutant Year Zero is a brilliant shout. That's not what I was thinking of, but...
Oh, was it not?
No, that's still a great shout, though. That's a really good animal-infused XCOM. I'm sure it's Shadowrun. It is Shadowrun.
Shadowrun Dragonfall.
The one I'm thinking of is Shadowrun Returns. That was where they brought it back, and they did a turn-based...
That was the updated version, wasn't it?
Yes, cyberpunk type thing, which you can get on tablets. And I think it had a console release eventually, but it's on PC. That would be my shout. That's cyberpunk with animals.
Dropped in 2013, and it describes itself as Shadowrun Returns as a science fantasy turn-based tactical role-playing game developed and published by Harebrained Schemes.
I mean, I remember playing it on... I had to get it on my Mac initially. My Mac couldn't handle it. It melted down. Then I got it on my phone, but the text was too small. Actually, your breathtaking award would have to go to Shadowrun Returns, if we're in joint agreement.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that.
Ghost Runner is a nice runner-up. I'll let that die for a second, so I've got an edit point. I think that's been about half an hour. I think we started half one. I didn't take any notice of when we started, so I just looked at Slack and realized when I sent you a link.
Should we do the last award then?
Yes, I think yes. Let's end on... do you want to end on What the F Did I Just Play? The That Literally Makes No Sense and I Hate It award, or the I've Never Felt So Alive award?
We do the biggest steaming pile of bollocks award?
Okay, I'll pass it over to you and you can do the final. Okay, we're recording anyway. Yeah. So for this last award, Mr. Chulescale, I believe you've got a special entry.
Well, this is the thing. It's the one that originated the Banties. It was the one that brought this whole concept to life, and that is the biggest pile of steaming bollocks award, only given to the worst of the worst of the worst. But I will place a small caveat on it, and we will put it onto in recent memory, because there are some absolute stinkers out there, and I'm sure that lots of people would say, like, just Atari, E.T. for the Atari and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But let's do it in recent memory, because I have got an absolute corker for you. But if you are ready to put your one first, let you go.
I feel like we cover a lot of things like the anthems, the launch state version of No Man's Sky. There's things like that. But I remember, I think it was NBA 2K16. Oh, it's whatever the one was where they brought in... the Kinect functionality to let you scan your face in.
Yeah.
And obviously it's an audio podcast, but if you ever want to Google some absolute nightmare fuel, just look up NBA 2K face scan, because that thing did not recognize the human face at all.
No.
Six sets of eyes, multiple sets of ears, completely wrong skin tones, a set of lips in the middle of your forehead.
Yes.
Yeah, that, like, it talk about a feature that just absolutely did not work from day one to a hilarious degree. I'm gonna put that forward. That's my shout.
That is a strong entry, to be fair. That is strong. Now, while the little demon inside me would love to say that I was gonna put Cyberpunk on the PS4 or all the previous gen stuff in there, because it is still a big steaming pile of bollocks, and true, I will still stand by the PC version being a decent game, but that is not.
I'll stand by the PS5 version being a decent game.
Today we are going to talk about a game that is so bad it is comical. My friends, Fast and Furious Crossroads.
Oh, I was almost going to get that. I saw, I can't, because
it was 70 bloody quid, mate.
That's one of the things that put me off, as did the review saying it was like the worst thing ever. But I used to love Fast and the Furious. I still have like a soft spot for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe that. But then it's barely even ran. And Vin Diesel just looks like a potato with a face drawn on it. So it's so just like, yeah.
The amount of reviews and coverage that I watched for it, everyone just took it to town saying it was like a PS2 game trying to cost like a PS5 game. Mm-hmm. But the thing that made me laugh the most is that it had a multiplayer offering as well, right? Yeah. And my face is hurting from smiling just thinking about this. At launch, do you want to guess how many concurrent players were online at launch, day one?
Well, I'm going to assume that the dev team would have played it a little bit. So I'm going to go with 25.
That's Are you kidding me?
I'm just aiming low. I'm guessing it's going to be pretty low.
No. It was 24. it was 24 people concurrently online on day of launch trying to play the multiplayer.
I mean, bless that energy. Like, I just, that's the whole thing where you'd think that, you know, X number of people are online, I should be able to matchmake with that. Like, you'd think that would make it easier to get into games.
Not at all.
Games need like hundreds or whatever to sort of populate the matchmaking, the search algorithms and everything. That's kind of a beautiful thing, that just sort of people like me who just went through with the whole thing because they needed to know. Just, I mean, I'm still curious. I would still play it.
Don't,
I still want to
don't
get
do
the
it.
New...
No, I'm not. I ban you from buying games. Like, if I think that you and I in our lives, because we are very good friends and we want to make sure that we protect each other from bad mistakes. We're going to have 10 veto.
Like when your friends had one too many drinks, just sort of just pull him back. He needs to go home.
We have 10 veto things for games. So if I'm saying to you, I veto you from ever buying that Fast and Furious game.
I mean, it's the morbid curiosity. I think maybe someday we'll stream it or something, streaming these games. Because I still want to get the new Terminator game. I've heard such mixed things about that. But I just, I've heard mixed to positive. Ben Roy said it's all right. But I mean,
yeah, but Ben Roy was also just said, oh, mate, there's two sex scenes in it.
He's coming running. That was but it's only getting 5 out of 10. Anyway, this has been the Untitled Banter Podcast. This has been the Banties. I've been your host, / you also been the host, Jules Gill. I've been Scott Tilford, joined by Jules Gill.
Hey.
Some sort of ending. For the Banties, thanks everybody for sending in their categories. We'll resume normal service this time next week. And until then, this has been the UBP, the UBP,
UBP
the UBP. UBP. And we'll catch you next time. Thanks and bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.